Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome indeed to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donnellan in for Maria Bailey. It is a pleasure to be with you today. We have a fabulous show, and it is already March. I'm looking at the top of this thing saying this show is airing starting March 5th. I can't even believe it. Now, February, we know, is a short month. And as Maria said in the last show, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. You know, when you're paying bills, it's not good. But February is in the books, my friends, and we are facing March. And, you know, it's going to be spring pretty soon, regardless of what Punxsutawney Phil says. Al, my producer, says that there are it's an early season for the cherry blossoms up in the Mid-Atlantic. And, of course, in South Florida, we really don't have big seasons. But regardless, March 20th will be the first official day of spring. And our clocks actually will spring forward within the next 2 weeks, I believe. I'm not sure of that exact date. So we'll start to see a little more daylight. Temps will probably warm up, hopefully, in your area soon if you are battling the cold. And, of course, it's St. Patrick's Day. As an Irish woman, it's one of my favorite holidays. And it's March Madness. As a sportswoman, too, I love any kind of sports, particularly college sports. It is March Madness. And I love the snippet I saw on the news the other day that Warren Buffett, you know, the billionaire, is offering $1 million a year for life to any of his employees now, employees who get a completely correct March Madness bracket. The odds are somewhere around 282 trillion possible combinations in the March Madness bracket. So, give it a shot. Obviously, if you're Warren Buffett's employee, I'd put a bracket in. I'd put as many as I could in. But he also has given a consolation of $100,000 to somebody who gets the furthest in the pool. So not a bad little perk. So before we get to our show really quickly, I wanted to mention two quick sponsors. Our first one is a new one called Tasty Lee Tomatoes. It's T-A-S-T-I with an I dash Lee tomatoes.com. And these are delicious vine ripened tomatoes with 50% more lycopene than other brands. They are certified by the American Heart Association as a heart healthy checkmarked food. And they taste like you grew them yourself with just the right mix of sweet and tangy. And I think they are exceptional. And my kids love them too. And you can go to tastylee.com. That's tastylee-tomatoes.com. And check out the store locator. We are fortunate enough to have Tasty Lee Tomatoes in our local Publix down here in South Florida. And I can tell you, my kids, especially my middle daughter, eats them like they're apples. She just eats them like an apple. She loves to dive into these tomatoes. They are rich. They're sweet and tangy, and they are great for your health. And you'll buy them for the health reasons first, and you'll buy the second because they do taste so good. And there's recipes on the website as well. There were some delicious ones. A pesto tomato sandwich looked delicious. For the big games, and if you're watching March Madness, keep your snack supply loaded with fresh and healthy snacks from Tasty Lee Tomatoes. BLT Tasties, again, there's great recipes online. Your family will love them. Go to tastylee.com, and that's Tasty with an I dash Lee. And they're available at your grocery store. Again, check on the store locator online. On the website, you'll find a store near you that carries this delicious product. And the other product I want to mention really quickly is for moms and moms-to-be, new moms rather, is Mother Nurture. These are treats for moms and babies, nutrition for moms and babies. It is like a guilt-free snack. It's enhanced water and chocolate truffles, and they are available on Amazon. Go to Amazon and search for Mother Nurture products, and they are all natural, and they contain folic acid, DHA, calcium, vitamin D. The DHAs in the chocolates, they work in harmony with prenatal vitamins, so check it out. And the website is made by mothernurture.com. And again, we've got a great show lined up. We're talking about things to empower moms and kids and all kinds of great stuff. So our first guest is Elise Mitchell. Elise is going to join us in a couple of minutes to talk about her new book, Leading Through the Turn, How a Journey Mindset Can Help Leaders Find Success and Significance. Stay with us after this short break.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms. Mom Talk Radio.
This first segment of Mom Talk Radio is about moms. A lot of the show is about kids today, but we're going to focus on moms with Elise Mitchell. She is the CEO of Dentsu Aegis Public Relations Network. Elise is Also the author of her latest book, Leading Through the Turn, How a Journey Mindset Can Help Leaders Find Success and Significance. Hi, Elise.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. So give us a little bit, your tips in the book. Tell us about the book first. When did it get published, and what can our listeners find in it?
Well, thank you. The book is hot off the press. It just released in early January, so I'm excited about it. McGraw-Hill is the publisher. I wrote it, though, about a year or so ago, and people have often asked me, why did you write this book? And for me, I've been an entrepreneur. I've been a mom as well as an entrepreneur for the last 20-some-odd years and loved the opportunity to build a company while also being close to my family and raising my kids. And I wrote the book about leadership because I had learned so much, especially as an entrepreneur, building a company from scratch over the last 20 years. And then I actually had the opportunity to sell my company, and we are now today a part of a global network. And there was so much I learned. And honestly, I wish I had had a leadership handbook like this when I first started out on my leadership journey. So the focus of the book is sharing. We have 55 practical lessons from in the trenches experiences as leader and as a mom and as a wife, trying to put it all together.
Right. Well, that's actually really fascinating because there are so many moving pieces, especially again, you're not just an employee, but you're the boss and you're the CEO of a big company.
Yes, indeed. And that's part of it, too. There was a lot I learned along the way, and it was actually a lot of fun. I think so many moms today face these challenges of, I want to be close to my family, but I also want to have an opportunity to develop myself. We all are certainly leaders in different ways. You don't necessarily have to be in the workplace to be a leader. You can be a leader in your community or your church as well. But the book, I think, really does help people to begin to think about how to be the most effective leader you can be, which is kind of part of where I get to the idea about the destination and the journey, but then how to figure out how to balance the rest of your life, which I think is kind of the holy grail for all of us. How do we do that and still
right.
feel like we've been able to develop ourselves and stay true to our families?
Right, right. So you talk about in the book adopting a journey mindset rather than mm-hmm. a destination mindset. Can you touch on that?
Yes. So I've always felt like I was a destination leader, which is one of those people who's very driven, very goal-oriented. I always like to know where I'm going and how I'm going to get there, and the rest is just scenery. And I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of us like that in life. And the problem with that, and especially for me, was, as you could tell, I was building a company, also trying to have a family life as well. I just got to the point, you know, where I just burned out. I could hardly go anymore. I was just exhausted, and I woke up asking the question every day, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this all there is? Mm-hmm. This doesn't feel like the right way to live. So I actually ended up learning to ride a motorcycle with my husband, so hence the motorcycling theme. And on the first trip when I got on the back of his bike, it really came home to me about the fact that I was missing the journey of my life, that I was so driven and so destination-oriented. Something was missing. And so when I wrote the book, it really has this higher message of, I'm still a destination leader. I still very much believe God made me that way, but I now lead with a journey mindset, which is how to live much more in the moment, to think about the experience, know that I can't control everything, but not miss a single minute of the journey along the way.
And that's so important, I think, with our now we can switch over to the kids and the family. I mean, that's where it goes so fast. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. And both my daughter's now in law school. My son is at the Naval Academy. He's a sophomore, and we're super proud of our kids, as I think most parents are. But and I look back now and I think, I hope I did not do a disservice to them. And then actually, in lots of conversations I've had with them in recent years when I was writing the book, to say, tell me about your childhood. My goal was for them to have a happy childhood. And you know what they said? They said it absolutely was happy because my husband and I were there for them. And part of that was, as they became teenagers, we began to realize you think when they're young, they need you, but actually they need you more when they get older. We learn that
exactly.
As we go.
Exactly.
That was when I made the changes in my life and became much more present for them. I wanted that front row seat when my daughter mm-hmm. was at a dance recital or my son was at the plate swinging the mat. I didn't want to be one of those parents that was behind the bleachers on the phone and missed everything. And I
right.
think I probably could have been that person if I had not made the changes that I made.
Fascinating. So tell me about your dashboard moments. When you say dashboard moments, find the dashboard moments with children and family. Yep.
That's a very favorite lesson that a lot of people have that I like to share. My daughter did she did school and competitive cheer for 7 years. And, you know, I grew up where we didn't have those types of things. I just went to my brother's Little League games in the summertime. But this generation, you know, this almost could be a year-round experience to be on some sort of a competitive team.
Volleyball is me. Volleyball.
Okay, there you go. Everybody has a kid that's doing something, which is great. So you know the idea of you travel a lot on the weekends to tournaments. And what I noticed was these were in these critical early teenage years for my daughter when it was so hard for her and I to connect and really communicate. But in the evenings, driving home from these long tournaments, just with the glow of the dashboard lights between us, she would open up to me, and she would talk to me, and she would ask me questions. You know, Mom, you know, what do you do if you feel like, you know, somebody doesn't like you? Or how do I know what I want to be when I grow up? Or I'm so sad I don't know how to find happiness anymore. Just things that she would never talk to me about in normal life. And I felt like there was some lessons there about being in a place, in a space, where you give your child permission to talk to you. And the other thing is that you had the radio off, and I had my phone turned off so that I was able to hear that voice from the back seat, which would say, Mom, can I ask you a question? That's dashboard lights.
Wonderful. Wow. And a couple other ones I really loved. And we ran out of time. Work to live rather than live to work, which is awesome. Everybody should live by that mantra, right? Elise Mitchell, where can our listeners find your book?
Okay, elisemitchell.com. That's elisemitchell.com. Everything is there.
Okay, wonderful. And it's Leading Through the Turn, How a Journey Mindset Can Help Leaders Find Success and Significance. Anybody can read this book and find wonderful advice in it. Thank you so much for joining us, Elise. And when we return, we're shining the spotlight on Blair Critch, a mom of two, who's going to be talking about raising boys to be good future husbands. This will be a great discussion. Stay with us.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
This is my favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio, the Spotlight on Moms. We are today talking with Blair Critch. She is the mother of two children, 12 and 10, and she blogs at blaircritch.com, C-R-I-T-C-H.com. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Blair.
Thanks so much for having me.
I liked your talking point. It's so intriguing because I actually saw a billboard going up the turnpike in Florida a few weeks ago, and it was actually about dads being role models for their sons. But you want to talk about moms being role models, how you raise boys to be good future husbands. Tell us when did you realize this was your role?
Honestly, I realized this is my role when I went back to work and needed my husband to help out. We needed to both participate in the household things. And he wanted to help out, but didn't know how to cook a meal, didn't know how to do laundry. And all of a sudden, I realized, wait a minute, I do not want my boys to go into a marriage without being equipped to be an equal partner in that home. And I want their wives to know that they're coming into their marriage knowing how to take care of themselves and how to help out and take care of their wife as well.
And you know that we can expand that argument or, discussion to say that it's also good for being a roommate, even in college or an apartment. If you have a roommate in an apartment after your boys are out of school, you know, I tell my kids that too. I said, sure, I want you to be a good spouse and take care of yourself and don't be a slob, but I also want you to be a good roommate too. So very good, very good point. So how
Absolutely.
Did you just start having them do all kinds of chores? I think as too, like my mother-in-law was this way. My husband is a fantastic house husband, I will say that. But he typically stays with roles that are stereotypical, I should say, to men.
Right. And that was actually, I think, the biggest thing for us to push through. You know, TV, media, it does have roles for men and roles for women, right? That's just honest. But I wanted my kids to be able to do everything because, like you said, it could be that one day they become a roommate with somebody. I also don't want my kids coming home and expecting me to help them with all those things. So, you know, I wanted them to be able to do all of the roles, not just things that they thought were girl things or boy things. And it also goes even further than just helping out in the house. It's emotional. I want them to be emotionally available to their spouse one day. I want them to be able to have physical touch with them and feel comfortable expressing their feelings. I know I grew up in a home where I knew my parents loved me. They told me all the time, but they were not touchy-feely. And then I married a man who was touchy-feely, and I had to learn how to make sure I showed love that way too. So with my children, my two boys, and making sure that they know that it's okay to touch, it's okay to express your feelings, even if you're upset, it's okay to express those feelings of being upset in a mature way, not in a yelling or belittling of somebody else. So for me, you know, it wasn't just about the household items. It was about that too. And also doing things without a grumbling spirit, right? I mean, you can ask somebody to do something in your house, and if they're complaining the whole time they're doing it, you don't want to ask that person to help you again. And now you just lost part of your mate, because we're supposed to equally help each other, right? And so if they're grumbling, I don't even want to ask you. So that's another part of it that for me was really important. Don't take the joy out of serving somebody else by grumbling the whole time.
Wow, very good point. Tell us a little bit of more of the tactics you used. How did you, when did you start this? And then, so your boys are 12 and 10, they're perfectly capable of chores, but a couple of the tactics you've used to kind of get them, train them really is what you're raising them to be good future husbands.
Right. Absolutely. So for the more like manual labor, you know, helping out with dishes, helping out with cleaning up their own room, doing their laundry, household items like that. I even have on there doing their own tasks. Like, you know, both my boys are an instrument. So getting their practice done every day. We have a chore chart for that. And I tried to do it without it, but I'll be honest, you know, we're busy. I work full time. My husband works full time. A couple days go by and you forget to make sure they're doing those things. So if you give them the responsibility of having that list, it's in a spot where everybody can see it in the home. And then in our house, we actually have not only a chore chart, but underneath it is a financial chart. So just like I get paid every single week by my boss, they get paid by their mom and dad for doing the things that are expected on there, doing it with the right heart, doing it appropriate time, and then they get paid. And we're also teaching them with that how 40% goes to saving, 10% goes to giving back to church or to your community, whatever you give back to, and 50% is for spending right now.
Wow, that's great. And that's true. And, you know, my very good friend of mine, her dad, which first time she got a job, and it was, you know, she was 15, 16, he took 20% just for rent, because he said, well, it's going to be me or the government someday. So it was quite funny, but it taught her the lesson, you know. So that's a real life lesson. Thank you so much, Blair, for joining us. BlairCritch.com. Can we find more information about these kind of tips on your website?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. Great segment. BlairCritch.com. When we come back, we're joined by Doug Haddad. He is a PhD, award-winning middle school teacher, author, parenting, education expert, great resume. And he's going to be talking about motivating young adults and also some difficult topics, some warning signs to watch out for. Stay with us.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
This next segment is going to be awesome. I am pleased to welcome Doug Haddad. He is a PhD, award-winning middle school teacher, author, parenting and education expert, and he's going to be touching on a lot of great topics for parents based on his experience, as well as his new book, which is called The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Doug.
Great to be here, Mary. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So middle school teacher, you know, that in itself deserves an award. But what was the award you got? Or I'm sure are there a few awards?
Yeah, actually, this year I've been honored. I was recognized as the Teacher of the Year in my district here in Simsbury, Connecticut. And also I was recognized as a Connecticut State Ambassador in public education. So it's been an awesome year.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that means you're doing really great work for the kids. So tell us then a little bit about your book. When did it get published? And touch on a little bit about what it is, The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens.
Yes, certainly. So it just came out February 16th, and it's a book that is designed to help simplify parenting and help parents better connect with their children. And it's really from a teacher's perspective, and because my work with children, I mean, it stems as not just being a teacher, but as being a coach and a mentor. And I traveled across the nation. I went to California and spent some time out there traveling to different schools and speaking to educators and really getting a perspective, too, on how to best connect with a child, because I think children are connected, but they're connected with the wrong things, technology and too much of this, too much of that. So I'm looking for them to sort of go back to basic values, teach parents ways from I've seen children in dealing with them 7-8 hours a day and what they're dealing with, teach parents about these new modern-day problems that are happening and ways to prevent them and ways to overcome them if they're already an issue with their tween or teen.
And I have both, so I'm going to pick up your book, definitely, because it's true. I mean, I keep looking at them thinking, that's not how, we didn't have all this technology and, the bombardment of social media. So it's become a whole separate parenting issue and discussion. You talk about in the book motivating young adults, though, to help them succeed at all levels. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, I think, highly motivated individuals we see really have three main qualities: that they have the ability to persevere and they're very persistent to determine something. And then also they just have a real positive approach, and they're proactive. And then also they have a low dependency on adults. So they're very independent-minded thinkers. And in my book, to become motivated, you have to really spark a child's interest by exposing them to many different things and also letting them discover their own talents. And as well, teaching them how to set meaningful goals, Mary. I think that's the thing that oftentimes we think kids are just going to find their way by themselves. And to an element, they will. But without any guidance of how to set a meaningful goal and tailor it towards your child. See, if your child is not athletically inclined, then certainly you don't want to have a goal for them to make the high school basketball team if that's not what they desire. Want to be able to make something that's meaningful, how much, by when, and then from there have them become successful and then make another goal. And then we continue to build a child's self-esteem, self-worth, and self-confidence in that manner. And that's what helps them become more internally motivated.
So Doug, when you talk about, setting goals, that sounds good. And then, but when you get into middle school, do you see warning signs, that parents should watch out for in middle school? I know I have two that have been through it, and I survived middle school is my joke,
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely warning signs. I mean, first off, suicide is the third leading cause of death, even for children 15 to 24. And there's certainly definite warning signs that we see with kids. When they start, their grades start to plummet, their peer groups start to change, when their whole affect, whether it's just they don't show happiness or excitement towards things they used to enjoy, there's a lot of hints that they're really struggling from something. And that's why in my book I talk about ways to, best connect with a child by going back and remembering what it's like, to be in that classroom, be on that bus, have all that homework, have the pressure of sorts. And also I educate parents on telling them, here's what kids nowadays are experiencing on social media, on apps.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what I do. I have parents go back in time to then understand it, but there are definite warning signs. I see it with my kids. I see them suddenly they'll come in one day where they're dressed normally, and all of a sudden then they're wearing dark clothes, they've dyed their hair dark. So those are warning signs.
Where are the resources for them, for parents, if they see warning signs or, rebellious behavior?
If it's really bad and a child has really threatened, say, to take their life, I'm talking in real bad cases, or they're demonstrating signs of depression or moodiness,
right,
and they're giving away possessions, I mean, they should definitely contact Extra Help, the Youth Suicide Prevention Program. I know it's a really good one. That's one to contact, but that's at a therapeutic level. I would certainly say have that discussion with trained professionals. Talk to the school resource people. There's the social workers. There's the social psychologist as well that works at the school. And really put together a complete plan to get the child on the right road to success. So have this be a team approach. Contact the school for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So your book, and congratulations on the release of the book, by the way, The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens. Is it like it's basically tips and is there anecdotes, stories, or is it more like a how-to?
No, it's a combination. So it's made up of two parts. Part one is a child unlimited strategies to help unlock a child's full potential. So I talk about how to help grow a leader, how to get a child motivated, how to best discipline a child effectively, use empathy consequences. And then part two talks about the child limiting challenges. And I address everything from the traditional, drugs, alcohol, smoking, sex, gambling, and also talk about social media, things with sexting. So all of that, even talk about video gaming and school violence and also bullying. And there are quite a few stories in there of personal anecdotes from myself as a child experiencing these things, as well as a teacher in the classroom, a coach, a mentor. So this is firsthand experience. This is also a lot of scientific research over many years, in combination with exercises for parents to help them in their strategies working with children. So I provide everything from soup to nuts in this book.
Okay, where can our listeners buy it, including me?
Go to Amazon right now, and actually it happens to be a bestseller on Amazon. It's in four categories. It's a bestseller. You can go to Barnes & Noble bookstores across the nation. It's on the shelves. Or, I mean, to learn more, also, you can go to my website, DougHaddad.com, and I have a regular blog on there, Mary, which is the Well Parent, and I have the Whole Child. So you can go on there and read all kinds of free articles and get all kinds of good information.
I don't know how you teach. You're so busy with all these other other endeavors. So again, thank you so much for joining us, Doug Haddad. It's DougHaddad.com. And we look forward to hearing a lot more about what you've got going on in the future. Again, the book is The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens. And when we come back, we're joined by Thea Runyon, co-founder of Curbo Health. She's going to be talking about common myths parents should throw out the window about feeding their kids. We'll be right back.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
On this segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Thea Runyon. She is the co-founder of Curbo Health. That's Curbo with a K, U-R-B-O, and it's curbo.com. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
You spent 12 years as the lead behavior coach in a pediatric weight control program. So a lot of your, obviously, your vocation is nutrition, good nutrition for our kids. So talk a little bit about that.
You know, the focus is a lot on behavior modification, too. And really, you know, we kind of know what we should be eating and should be feeding our kids. It's how do we actually get them to do it? So that's what our focus is, and that's what our focus is with Curbo, is how do we work with kids so that they can make those changes? How do we work with parents so they can help their kids make those healthy choices and make it easier to do the things that we know we should be doing to be healthy?
So you address some of the things that parents do miss that parents perpetuate about feeding kids before, during, and after sporting events, let's say.
The first thing that pops to my mind is this need to provide our kids like with a protein bar or energy bar before they go out onto the soccer field or soccer practice or something like that. Those foods have a really what we call high calorie density. So at Curbo, those would be a red light food. And those foods actually, they're marketed to do something that they actually don't do. And in the end, they're actually giving our kids extra sugar, extra calories that they don't need. They're far better off having an apple and a string cheese to have that balance of a healthy, you know, carbohydrate with a little bit of natural sugar and that protein to keep them going. But we get sucked into this marketing effort, if you will, of trying to encourage us to buy these foods that actually aren't healthy for our kids. It's like eating a couple of cookies before you run out on the soccer field.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because I just read another a news article about how the labeling just is so deceptive sometimes. And again, we all eat the packaged foods, but it's not doing our kids any good. Like you said, it's the high density, high sugar, and really just a piece of fruit is better off, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to give them more energy. It's more sustainable. And also we want to think about what is the habit we want our kids to have. Like if they're going to play a sport, we want them to learn how to fuel their body properly instead of putting all this other stuff into their bodies that actually isn't good in the long run.
So an energy drink. There's no way anybody could get so dehydrated that they need one of those energy drinks.
Those energy drinks were created for football players in full football gear in this hot, humid weather who they were just pouring out, you know, liquids and needed to replenish electrolytes. Our kids just aren't doing that.
Right.
Right? I mean, even if you're playing an hour soccer game, you know, a kid might be running around for maybe 20 minutes of that entire game. Certainly not enough time to constitute putting all that sugar, tons of sugar, as much sugar as a soda, back into their bodies. Water is best.
How about suggestions for parents putting together a nutritional calendar or plan? Is there anything like that you can address?
Plan ahead, right? So if you have the stuff in the house and you've kind of thought through what you want to have it on hand, right? Make it easy. Make the healthy choice the easy choice. That means put out a bowl of clementines. Keep a bag of apples in the car so that when you've got a car full of hungry kids, you can grab an apple rather than driving through the drive-thru. So keeping those things really accessible is important. I think what's really important for parents to understand, too, is actually if your kids are hungry, they're going to eat what's put in front of them. So let's put the good stuff in front of them while they're hungry. Putting those fruits and veggies out when they come home from school so they can just grab them. You know, putting out veggies before dinner so they can grab it. You know, packing a bag of cut apples on their way to the softball game so they can munch on that. So giving them stuff that's easy and healthy, and you'll be surprised at how quickly it disappears, to be honest.
Yeah, and actually I'd read that a while ago in a recipe that was like all about healthy eating, healthy cooking for kids, and it said just literally put out some cut up vegetables and even some ranch dip, even though, you know, but that instead of, because the kids will go to the crackers and the Cheez-Its and they, they'll gravitate
don't
to
put
that.
It out. No, and it's so true. And I hate to say this, parents, but you do have to go the extra mile. You've got to cut it. You got to peel it. You got to wash it. The kids are not going to do that. I wish they would, but they don't.
Right.
So if we want them to eat it, we got to make it simple.
Yeah. And soon enough, they'll be old enough that if they're, you know, handling it properly, they can also do that too. So, but yeah, younger kids definitely need the prep time. Tell us a little bit. You're called the Stoplight Lady. Tell us a little bit about that.
I got that name. So so the food classification with Turbo and the classification of foods that we adopted from Stanford University, where I've been now actually for 15 years, all the foods are based on red, yellow, and green. And red light foods are those foods that we're trying to avoid, kind of like that energy bar I was talking about, you know, things that are just treats and things to have on occasion. Yellow light foods are those foods that we actually make up most of our diet, but we still need to watch our portions of. And then green light foods are those foods, fruits and veggies, that we just don't eat enough of and we're really trying to eat more of. So I, for many years before starting Curbo, while I was still at Stanford, I used to do a lot of school assemblies. And I have a cute little outfit that it looks like a stoplight. And we talk about the traffic light classification of foods. And so the kids would see me and recognize me, and they just started calling me the Stoplight Lady. So that kind of stuck.
That's cool, though, you know. And again, I'm sure that affected them when they could equate it to their food. So that's a good thing. So where can we find out about at curbo.com? Is that where we can find out more information about red food, yellow food, green food?
Yeah, check us out. We are we have a free mobile app that you can download with your family. It's designed specifically for kids and teens. Can teach you all about red, yellow, green, how we do portion control. It's all really simplified to make that kind of going back to making the healthy choice the easy choice. And we have a coaching program that's really effective. It's for kids that just want to feel more fit with their sport or just feeling like they need some help making healthy choices. So we have a coaching program where kids talk to a health coach once a week over FaceTime or Skype.
KURBO.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Theo, on a great topic. And when we come back, we'll wrap the show talking to Steve Mariotti, and let's talk to him after this short break.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
On this last segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm very, very pleased to welcome Steve Mariotti. He is a successful businessman in 1982, decided to teach public high school in New York City's roughest neighborhoods, a fantastic story. He founded the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, also known as NIFTY, and it brings entrepreneurship education to low-income and at-risk youth. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Steve.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, I've heard of you, and your story is so inspiring, and your network for teaching entrepreneurship, NIFTY, has touched how many children over the course of its life?
Over 600,000 students have graduated from NIFTY, or the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, and we specialize in teaching low-income children how to start small businesses so that they'll do better in school and in life.
Right. And so your network, it has also come, and you've also written a book called An Entrepreneur's Manifesto. Was that an outcome of just the NIFTY experience over so many years, or was that something you had always had in the back of your mind of writing the manifesto?
Well, it's actually my 34th book, so I'm really proud of it. So, but it's my first book for adults, and What I wanted to do was create a book that was my, excuse me, my legacy for younger people, and make an argument to keep free markets, promote entrepreneurship and democracy. And that came out last year, and it's done really well. I'm really proud of it. And I was fortunate enough to get a fellowship at Philadelphia University, and am also still a consultant for Nifty, which I founded in 1987, 20 years ago. And I'm really, really proud of it. It's replicated all over the world and has really brought a new perspective to youth education.
It's very far-reaching.
Thank you. And I think it's changed the paradigm of how educators look at kids that aren't doing well in school, and presented the possibility that certain children that are street smart are also business smart, and has given, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of educators a potential way to work with a child who is not doing well in traditional classrooms. So we're very proud of that, and our management team is great. Sean Osborne and everybody we've got there. We've just got a great organization.
Right. So you have a website, stevemariotti.com. That's MARIOTTI.com. What can our listeners find at that website? Can we find information about Nifty and your books, or tell us a little bit about what's on the website?
Oh, yeah. If they go to that website, they'll easily get to the Nifty site, which is NFTE.com. Okay. It is a nonprofit, but we use .com because we couldn't get .org. And they can read about and order any of the books that I've written. So
you mentioned that the Entrepreneur's Manifesto is the first book for adults. Very interesting. I'm going to pick that one up too. Where do our listeners find that book? Is that widely distributed?
Yeah, it's in most major book chains. It's done well at Barnes and Nobles, and my own local bookstore here in Princeton, Labyrinth Book, has sold a lot. It's I think an important book because it directly confronts the arguments made against the entrepreneur. And so it's a philosophical book that argues that entrepreneurship and capitalism are moral ways to organize society around voluntary exchange, and that the people that benefit the most are actually low-income people. And that's often ignored in global debates about how to help low-income people, particularly low-income children. And my whole career has been based on the fact that entrepreneurial education can be a powerful way to change a generation of low-income children and really, really help them.
And that's where Nifty came from as well. And that's the premise for that. So really great work. Again, it's stevemariotti.com, M-A-R-I-O-T-T-I. Congratulations on the fellowship. Good luck in Philadelphia. And thank you all so much for joining us on this edition of Mom Talk Radio. You can find this show and past shows at momtalkradio.com. Check out our Facebook page and download our app as well to listen anytime, anywhere. Have a wonderful week, everybody.